Tonight, it's the Battle of Ralph, Barry, and the Thousand of Vos. We finally find out who the mystery girl is, and we have got the thinker himself, Neil Sandilands, in the studio, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Well, I think I'm going out of my head. Yes, I think I'm going out of my head.
Holy smokes, what a season finale we just had. That was...
You guys come complete with sound effects and everything.
Get ready for the show.
Kind of like on the show, right?
Yeah. The lights are flickering. We're trying to just keep up with purple. The flash. Yeah, they're not purple. They're like kind of pink.
What is up,
guys? We are here for season four. Right? Yeah, season four.
Season finale.
Listen, it's been a long day, but we're here for season four, episode 23. It's a season finale of The Flash. I am your host, Drew Jones, and I'm going to let my lovely panel introduce themselves.
Hey, guys, I'm on the opposite end of the table. My name is Zach Silverman.
Hey, everyone, this is Chauncey K. Robinson.
And
where are you guys looking?
We're here.
Good evening, Neil Sandilands. Neil Joseph William Sandilands. He's meeting
the big bad of season four, the thinker, DeVoe.
Welcome. I'm not gonna lie, we were really excited.
How we laughed.
We laughed, we cried.
So initial reactions of the episode. Obviously, you knew kind of how it was going to play out, right?
Well, I certainly had to read a script.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's some, like, with Marvel movies, like, you know, they only know certain...
Keep things under the wraps.
Yeah, they keep things super under the wraps. Did you get to know everything that was going to happen?
Yes. I had a very broad overview of what we're going to do with the season. I thought it was very well planned out. And I am happy to say that I don't think we leaked any... spoilers from my end. I don't think so.
I don't think there was any spoilers leaked at all.
No, we were pretty good about that.
There were just mainly the talk around the mystery girl of the season. And also, like, throughout, like, what
the mystery girl.
Such a mystery.
He's playing coy, y'all. He's playing coy.
You guys, make sure... We're going to get into a few other topics, but make sure to tune in to the rest of the episode because we are going to get into the mystery girl. We're going to do predictions for next season, and we're going to get into some new projects that Neil has coming up. We're going to talk about those a little bit later, so stay tuned. But for right now, let's kick off where the...
A photograph of a ham sandwich.
Yes.
Okay, right.
Exactly. Okay, right. You're like really cool, first of all. Like, I don't know, is it just me? I'm getting like a little nervous.
I'm a little nervous. I have the thinker next to me. I'm very intimidated. I gotta say,
No way. I was good. Like after Best TV, and I came over here, and then I saw like this is a place of industry, and these people are working and they're doing things, and I was like, okay, right, I'm here.
You are.
You just have a presence. The thinker's presence would be, but you're not like diabolical, you know?
At least bit.
No.
Yeah, I haven't revealed it yet.
That we know yet.
This is in our heads already controlling us.
My mother accepts me.
His mother loves him. That's what always counts.
There you go.
Amazing. Speaking of mothers to be, we see that Cecile is going to help Barry get into... your brain, DeVoe's mind.
How about that? I mean, like, that was particularly interesting for me. The way that they wrapped it up and where it was going, I thought they did it particularly well, you know?
They really
did. It was
did.
Like, when I read it, I was like, this is going to be trippy.
You guys had us the whole season wondering, how is this going to potentially end? Like, what? First off, we didn't know what your plan was until, like, I think the last five
And hopefully
episodes.
Nobody knew that I was coming back in this permutation as well. Or DeVoe was coming back as this person.
Exactly. Yes. I think some of us had guessed or thought that with the Ralph, because we were all trying to figure out throughout, like, all these, the bus metas all had, like, puzzle pieces. So it was like, Ralph can shapeshift. So at first I was like, okay, he's going to shapeshift into the thinker, maybe. But then you kind of threw me off when you killed him.
I am so, like, let me just say, like, I'm so unimpressed with Hartley Sawyer. Because people like him so much. And I'm like, you know, and I thought he did a tremendous job. Mm-hmm. You know, he's, So people were particularly enchanted by that little bit. I got a lot of, like, how dare you?
I mean, we were on the show cursing you off, like, every other episode. Like, no, you took our favorite character and then this one and that one. We're like, ah. Yeah, but like, no,
okay, enough about Hartley. Yeah,
right. Do you get that a lot? Do you look online when people are like, because you were the big bad of the season. So like throughout everything that's been happening, were you like paying attention to people saying, oh my God, the thinker, he's so...
I have to be honest about it. I'm a little bit of a laggard. I believe you call it a laggard. Like I'm very, I'm a very late, I've entered very late into social media and didn't quite understand the significance of it. But, you know, here we are. So I do from time to time go in, and it's interesting for me to see how people respond to it. The only thing that screws me up a little bit is that it's an anonymous audience, you know? Yeah. So I don't know if the person on the other side is like a 3-year-old. Yeah. Kind of, so I don't know the level of engagement. You know, do you go like, oh, really? You thought that was fantastic? And they're going like,
yeah. Never give in to the trolls. Yeah. Never give in.
I don't know. Like, even trolling, I'm not quite sure I understand what that means.
So pretty much someone will continuously say something to you to egg you on, to keep you going into a conversation and just, like, fuel the fire.
Like
and
DeVoe did with Barry all season. All season.
Trolled Barry all season long.
You were kind of a troll this entire season.
You set him up, he'd do it, and you'd be like, I knew you were going to
And then
that.
You'd be like, you're stupid.
you were the troll of season 4.
I was on to him.
But if you want someone who's hip on all of the, you know, social media and lingo, wants to teach you a bunch of other things in life, Chauncey, I think you have somebody who can help us out with all of that.
Yeah, for sure. If you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas for your life, for those who do, have we got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features features celebrity and influencer interviews. Yes, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment. And when you do, let Maria know it was us who sent you there. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out.
I'm going to troll her right now. Maria, I'm coming.
She actually was excited that you were coming on. She retweeted our little graphic of you and everything.
Okay, this is another thing, a question that I... So, you tweet, right? And then people retweet. And then I can, like, I'm so over twitting and tweeting. And because I go in there and I want to see the original thread. But, like, you've got all these comments by all these other people. So to get to the original source takes me a hell of a long... And it kind of bothers me a little bit.
Yeah.
I kind of love
that. Very time-consuming.
Yeah. I kind of love that you... play someone who hates technology and thinks it's evil, and you feel pretty sorry about social media.
I don't get it.
We see why they casted you.
Like art imitating life.
Acting, maybe.
I get so into this character. Yes.
There's a lot going on Twitter, just like there was a lot going on in this episode.
Yes.
The season finale. So much happening with Cecile. You pretty much kind of came up against Cecile, a woman in pregnancy. Labor.
Yeah, she's like going into labor. Yeah.
Like DeVoe had no kind of remorse and like.
No, well, I mean, it was a perfect representation of when we went inside your mind and we saw like the DeVoe that was the good one. Like you killed him. You killed yourself. You killed any happiness that was left or any good that was left. And that was just evil, pure evil. And that's why he was able to just like, oh, I'm going to kill you with the baby inside of you. You know, just.
Wow. We had such amazing conversations. Todd, Eric, you know, the sort of engineers of the show. Mm. And they were great in allowing me to have conversations to that extent. And I was curious about what those were, you know?
Like why you would go and do something the way you were doing it and everything. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and it reminded me about when I was a student because I wrote a thesis at that point in time which was very similar in terms of just this question about technology, you know?
Yeah.
Where did we go with that? I think Einstein said something to the effect that... No, I'm not going to quote Einstein.
No, go ahead. Quote.
No.
I'm on the other show.
We've been going really deep.
Please, I cannot remember the exact quote, so okay. I'm not going to go there. But when our technology, gets the better of us. Mm-hmm. Something to that effect. Somebody's going to please tweet it.
You want to move closer so you can see the screen? Out. Yeah,
there is you go. Something like that. These are serious questions. Well, they're questions that I think about a lot. I like to deconstruct things and think about how does this serve us. I'm going to just say it. I'm old school. I like nothing to sit other. Around a table, a kitchen table preferably, and have good conversation with people. And I do have a problem with this kind of behavior.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we all do. I think we are aware of it. We cannot deny it. It's happening the whole time around us. And I'm not the one necessarily to make a morality judgment about that and go like, just stop
put
tweeting,
down the phone and just interact. Yeah,
kind of. It's become part of our lives. But I am concerned about how I live my life.
Yes,
in that. You know.
No, that makes perfect sense. This is so cool. We're getting to see a side of the thinker and DeVoe come through, who you really are in real life. I mean, this whole season is kind of like I actually have not even looked at it until now, what you're just saying. This entire season is kind of like a reflection on humanity in itself and how we do need to kind of put these things down. Like, he wanted to dumb everyone down because everyone relies on these things so much.
Well, I think that's there's so cool. tensions, and they do that particularly well. They always need to have a good story. You need to have certain tensions.
Yeah.
That's
the writers did a phenomenal job this season with hitting every level with, I think, a lot of different audiences.
I was amazed by that, because, like you rightfully said, the Flash has got a really interesting demographic. There's people who grew up with the
comic
books
and everything. Yeah.
You know, you've got a younger demographic, but it's, you know, cross-pollinating like that. Yeah.
I want you to go in a little bit about the relationship of DeVoe and Marlies, because we see that essentially Marlies is
I'd love to talk about that.
The
ticket. I'd love to talk about Kim.
She's a phenomenal actress.
She's awesome.
Yeah. So Marlies is essentially kind of what really ends DeVoe. Obviously, Ralph is able to get through and, you know, take back his body, but DeVoe comes back in a technological reincarnation, and it's really Marlies who designed the chair who's able to take control and kind of shut it down.
That's what you think.
Oh.
Okay. That's a different angle.
I'm just going to leave it open.
Okay. Please.
You're going to have the chat going crazy.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about their relationship and, like, do you feel DeVoe, like, really loves her? Do you feel like he was very manipulative? Like, do you think he ever really cared about her? What is your view on their relationship?
Okay. Let me first address Kim and how amazing it was for me to work with her. I've always wanted to work with her. We are both South African. I've known her as early as, I think, 2002.
Oh, wow.
And we lived in the same apartment complex.
Oh, wow.
Right? Huh. But we've never had the opportunity to work together, right? And I think people were, at least my read of it, is that people were very enchanted by the specific chemistry happening between the two of us, you know? So that was just a gift, and she's just remarkable with that. And I think also the storytellers, the creators of the show, employed that, and they were intrigued about where this could go. I think it became a way more emotional narrative than maybe they initially thought it would be.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys had us going from the beginning. I mean, this entire season we've been talking about how it's like Team Flash, Barry Allen and Iris against DeVoe and Marlies, and like how your love in the beginning of the season started off as like such, like, I thought it was a very romantic coming together, like this woman loves her husband through thick and thin, like he has these issues, he's in a wheelchair, and you portrayed such a good husband at first.
There were, like, little moments in there. And we actually debated that.
Yes.
Because we were, like, there were little red flags, even with that flashback episode.
Yeah. That flashback
that showed
episode
that there
really
were certain moments where, I know, Drew and I were just like, girls,
you gotta go.
certain manipulations, that's red flags right there. And it was really interesting that they showed that those broken pieces, even in the very beginning. Because it wasn't just necessarily when he became the big bad, though. Was that, like, conscious when you were kind of portraying their early love?
This is what I think happens with a show of this nature. I think there is an element of it that is certainly planned and plotted out, but I also think that there's an organic nature in it, and you see what your participants, your actors, and they bring to the table, and then you explore different possibilities in that. I don't know whether it was necessarily as plotted as, like, okay, we're going to go into the backstory and see how their love began and whatnot, but certainly the opportunity to play that was fantastic, and I think the audience responded very well to
it. Very much. Yeah, because that was the second half of the season, I think, after Christmas break or one of the other breaks. We had a few breaks throughout the season. So
the winter hiatus.
So the writers were kind of playing, not playing catch up so much, but we're like, we have an opportunity to, like, we could go back in time and show how this these two loves came together.
And I think it helped the storyline tremendously.
Oh, it did so much.
Then, you know, it's not a clear cut thing like this dude or this couple is just, he's bad and he's one dimensional or at the very best two dimensional.
Mm, yeah.
It get, like, and I think, you know, it becomes an interesting question about morality, because I don't think anyone is just one singular thing. Like, they just, I don't know, evil.
Yeah.
You know, we all have so many aspects about our personalities, and to explore that within this narrative and within a comic genre, it was amazing.
All genres, there was a lot of layers. I mean, this season with The Thinker was very much a thinking kind of season. Yeah. Like, there were so many philosophical debates that were going, that we were diving into, in terms of, like, you know, Barry and DeVoe going at each other in the previous episode, talking about, you know, Barry not wanting DeVoe to, you know, surviving, DeVoe's telling him the reasoning behind it and all of that that was going on. And even in this season finale, that was still happening. Like, you know, DeVoe's going through Marlise, DeVoe's talking to Barry within his head, which was like an Inception throwback. Yeah.
There's a lot of nice throwbacks.
I mean, for me reading that, I was going like, this is trippy. I mean, like, I don't know if you can say, like, I've never done LSD, but I could imagine.
I could imagine
what it would be like. You know, something.
Fair enough.
Like that. When we went into our winter hiatus, I had, just like personally, I had a little bit of a tough time, because now, I mean, I just plunged in and started playing the character, and, you know, you start building a puzzle. And then we had a little bit of a break, and then it all, the ton of bricks came down on me, and I was going like, okay, you are playing The Thinker. I mean, at least to some level, you got to pull it off that you are semi-smart, right. You know?
Oh, you did a phenomenal job of making us all believe you had every bit of knowledge in the universe that was out there.
But the deconstruction of that was like, holy moly. Yeah. I mean, I sat with it for a second, and I went like, I mean, that is a little bit of a madness going on.
I can imagine.
Did you read any of the comics to kind of prep for the role, or is your interpretation of The Thinker completely, like, organic, what you know, just read and decided to go with it?
Also, just real quick, buddy, can you just move a bit
Anthony,
to your...
you interrupting us.
I know, I'm sorry. can you just move a little bit to your left? Sorry about that.
There you go.
Thank you so much.
Drill instructor. Okay, so what was the question?
Have you read some of the comics?
They did give me a copy of the, I believe it's a 1943, where Clifford DeVoe is first mentioned. Mm. I looked at that. I looked at previous seasons, not in its full, you know, form, but certainly to get like a discernible temperature of where it's pitched. And then it was just like starting to build a puzzle, you know?
That's pretty cool.
And there is something interesting in that, and this is the collaborative nature of it, which I got to pinch myself, because I was working with such gifted individuals, you know. Mm. When I got onto the show, I had a specific idea in mind, and they were going like, no, you misread that, you know. This is where we want to go with it, like, as a balancing act for a lighter approach that happened this season. And I was, I mean, obviously being an actor, I think you should be able to make those adjustments. And that's literally what happened.
Yeah.
Like, I had a specific view, and they went like, nah, perhaps a little
bit. We're going to shape you a little bit and do it like this.
You know, go there. And then I was going like, okay, and that's how the thinker happened. So
did you have like a darker view on it? Like, what was your take on it?
No, way more light.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I wanted, because I knew it was going to get particularly dark somewhere. So I wanted to start, I wanted to give him ceiling space, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
nice.
You know, set him up light and whatnot. But a lot of this season has been quite light in certain aspects. So you needed that counterbalance. So you know, I needed to go in there. And
I would even argue he kind of seemed like he got playful in a, like a diabolical way once he, like, towards the second half of it, like when he became all the other meds, like that one scene in the beginning of the previous episode where it was like that fight scene with
the army guys, right?
Awesome. And he seemed kind of playful during, and I mean, like, definitely
thanks,
deadly.
John, you see this, the stunt guys were amazing.
They definitely stepped up their game in terms of stunts and the CGI and all the types of fights that were happening. I mean, on the previous seasons, we had a bunch of speedster after speedster after speedster. So this one was like a different fight against somebody. You know, they had to think a little bit more of how to go about using
Barry. Yeah, it was more of a mind game.
It was great.
Which made it a little bit more uncomfortable.
Were times when it was just like, whoa, this is...
Not what we're used to. We had three seasons worth of like, we should know where it's going right now. And next episode, we're like, what's going on?
Well, I mean, hats off to the creators of the show.
Yeah.
Because I certainly didn't think all of that, those things out. I mean, it came from somewhere. You know?
Right.
And they did, I think, a remarkable job.
The boat almost had Joe shoot himself this episode. Right. That was intense. And I was almost kind of mad.
I
thought it was going to happen. That was such a great
Joe's off
moment. Limits.
But even to play those moments, you kind of go like, ooh, you know, you're
goosebumps.
You get goosebumps.
Yeah.
We call it in Afrikaans, we call it hoenderflesh.
Hoenderflesh.
Which is kind of funny because it's like chicken flesh.
Okay.
useful information.
Yeah. I've heard more goosebumps before or something like that.
Tonight's fight scene, ultimate fight scene between Ralph and Barry and DeVoe, like that looked crazy.
Matrix.
Obviously, there's not 1,000 versions of you. How was that filmed? Like, did you have to do multiple filmings of running different ways and doing different things, and then they just multiplied you?
Sure. I mean, I don't want to give the game away.
Sure
we still need to retain a sense of mystery.
Yeah, do you actually just, you know, split into 1,000?
That's right.
That's exactly what happened.
Right. I'll take it.
There's a lot of method acting classes and whatnot, a lot of masters.
I'll accept that answer.
It's a technical thing. You know, we call it, I don't know.
It's called like layering or something.
I'd like to get back to what you were saying. I think playing him over four different permutations, we see him as the thinker initially, and he's sort of wheelchair bound, you know,
right.
And that's very limited. And then we see him as Professor DeVoe, and then we see him 8 years prior to that in the backstory, and then we see him as the full evolution. So when you say, like, in the latter episodes, I enjoyed that because I wasn't so limited.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had a body to move with, you know. In the first episodes, you're very confined.
Yeah,
you've got to tell a story pretty much here, you know. So, yes, I did enjoy the latter episodes, and I loved doing the stunt work.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason why you ever become an actor. I would imagine
just to do this now.
Yeah, you know.
So, DeVoe takes on two other forms. Jinx obviously becomes DeVoe at one point, or DeVoe becomes Jinx, I should say, and then DeVoe becomes what was Ralph's girlfriend's name?
Siren.
The country gal.
The country gal. Did those actresses like, you know, sit down with you and kind of learn your, because they were pretty spot on with like their versions of DeVoe.
No, we had a very brief discussion about it. I don't think it was explored. To that extent, I think it's just too difficult, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
for
time-wise,
somebody to emulate a different person, their patterns, their rhythms,
you know,
etc. But I do think Hartley Sawyer did a remarkable job, and I could see it because he was studying what I was doing, and he
had the longest time to look
pretty accurate representation of it.
I really liked, I always forget his name, the first one that you took over that was telekinetic.
Dominique.
His performance of you
was
spot. Like, I did not realize the next episodes will be like changing to like different characters. So I thought, I was like, oh, so this is the body, this is what it's going to be. And I was like, man, that guy did his homework. He's just embodying him. It was almost sad because I loved your performance so much. I was like, I kind of want Neil back. Like, bring back the old DeVoe. Like, he was so good as a menacing actor.
You just suck.
No, really. But, I don't know where I was going with that. I was just complimenting you, I suppose. So.
No, I think they all, I mean, I think it's
a
really
great
cast
job.
That they put together to tell this specific story.
And there was like a
I also want to talk about Grant.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, please. How can we not talk about Grant while we have you on the show?
We have the...
Your counterpart. Let's hear. What do you got to say about him? I hear he's a phenomenal man. Very nice.
It's one thing to be the lead.
Yes.
In a show. It's also a thing to be number one on the call sheet. It's a great responsibility. Mm-hmm. You set the tone. You create an environment for people to work around you and with you and, you know, propel a story forward. And couldn't be a more lovely guy than Grant. Really. He's just that guy who walks in to give you a hug and there we go. And then we have to get nasty with each other. But no, he's a particularly good number one in the call sheet. Yes.
That's good. Seems like a leader. It makes sense why he's leader of Team Flesh. Although, yeah. You could say Iris might be.
Oh,
Iris was definitely can't.
Behind every man.
There you go.
She's a great woman. Yeah,
there is.
And Marlies.
Right, exactly. What? And that was the thing we were saying, like that parallel between West Allen. And yeah, it was just so great the way the writers built that parallel between the two major couples of this season and seeing the cracks in one and the strengths in the other kind of playing off of each other.
And Kim made herself indispensable,
mm-hmm.
Right? She
owned, she just went all out. She was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, there was one particular instance where it was one of the backflashes that we did when we were in the village. And I was just startled because we'd be doing the wide shots and then we go into our, you know, the individual coverage. And to retain that level of emotional commitment, you know, and she does that. Take after take, take after take after take.
That's tiresome.
I can maybe do once and then fire me.
Real quick, Neil.
Someone go to the left.
Yeah. Oh no, not again. I just want to bring up someone from the chat. It was a quick just a comment from Colin Prime that said that they really loved the chemistry between Barry and the Thinker. And they really appreciated watching that. In a sense, it's a weird relationship that developed between you two. And they just wanted to comment on that, that they really enjoyed watching you work with Barry, between Barry and the Thinker.
You have a lot of fans.
That's mighty kind. But I think in any story where there's that kind of tension, there's got to be a mutual respect between your good guy and your villain. If your good guy didn't respect the villain... On some level, I mean, you know, how are we going to sustain that for 23 episodes?
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, thank you. I really enjoyed... I just wish there was more of it. I really enjoyed working with Grant. Yeah.
I've got a question for you. So, take it back to end of season 3, I guess. Season 1, 2, and 3, we've had all the speedsters. Speedsters. You get hired, and hey, we're doing something different for season 4 for Flash. We're no longer doing speedsters as the villain. You will be the main villain, the Thinker. What were your thoughts? What were your takes on it? Like, what were you feeling? Like, oh, I have so much to live up to because it was all speedsters. What are people going to think of something doing different? Like, where was your headspace when you essentially got hired for all this?
That's a great question, and I never considered it.
Really?
Yeah.
First time thinking about it?
No.
I'll put you on the spot.
I didn't go into how... Do I emulate that or
right.
anything like
you
that?
Because you could never want it. Yeah.
This is a puzzle, and we're going to start building it, you know, and like see where that goes.
Nice.
So I never did any sort of comparative analysis or anything like that, like, you know, or trying to be like this.
Right. Yeah.
No, I think it was something completely different, and perhaps the fact that I'm not well versed in all of these different universes and the comic book genre and
probably play to you better.
I mean, I didn't grow up with it. I don't understand it particularly well. I sort of discovered it as I went on, you know.
Cool.
I was going to say, the Thinker that you portrayed is definitely a lot, I would say, darker than the Thinker we're used to in the comics. And there's almost a sense of, like, hopelessness because he's able to pick at the weaknesses of each person on Team Flash. So how did you, like, kind
Diabolical.
Of... Because it wasn't just Barry and DeVoe that had a really interesting relationship. You were able to kind of, like... get really interesting feedback from, like, Harry and Sisko. Like, you had it was very unique to each person. So how did were you able to build that chemistry with each character?
It's a pity because we didn't really work together that much, you know. You'd see your villain primarily in the background pulling the strings. So we had very limited time on screen together. You know, and that's part of creating that illusion. You know, I think a lot of it, he becomes so dangerous because he's working in the shadows. You know, most of my work has been, and this is where it becomes interesting, has been one-on-one with Kim Marlies. Mm-hmm. That's how you get to know about the character and you see the backflashes. And
yeah.
But if you think about the series, there's very little involvement with the other characters. But yes, he it's remains this ominous yeah. presence. Yeah.
That haunts the other characters.
I mean, even how you challenge Harry's intelligence, you know, that really is Harry's superpower, is his intelligence. And you kind of are the demise of the Harry that we know, because he obviously tries to make a thinking
Tom
cat
is
like
amazing.
Yours. Yeah.
Tom is just like to be on the floor with him. He's just like,
he's a great guy. This,
yeah. And he goes at 120 miles an hour. He's always lighthearted. He cracks everyone up. He's very, not funny, weird, funny, like really a funny guy and super talented. How he just morphs like that, you know?
He played like seven different characters probably on more. This season alone,
we
and
had
every
the
season.
Council of Wells.
The Council of Wells. There's four per there, and
him. And he does it so effortlessly. Yeah.
He just turns it on, just like that. And then he was three different Wells in the three different seasons as well.
We're discussing you, Tom.
Tom.
what
did you think of, in this finale tonight, we saw what we suppose is the demise of DeVoe. Like, what? How did you feel?
That's what you think.
That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, you know, yeah. Like, if you want to hint that that's not it. Like, in terms of, like, how he was taken down with the power of the team and things of that nature, do you think it was kind of, like, poetic justice in a way? Because he tried to go on his own. And this idea of, you know, I can be solo, I don't need you, Marlies. You know, even though he kind of seemed like a jaded boyfriend, jaded husband a little bit. But then it's like, in the end, you know, the team together was able to to get on him.
Yes. I'm not always in favor of like a happy ending and stuff like that, you know. But the fact of the matter is, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, it's an ancient wisdom, it's a conventional truth, and that is DeVoe's downfall. Demise, you know. And I certainly didn't want him to, you know, if I have to think about it as Neil, I didn't want him to beat all the goodness, or I'm going to sound so cliched now, the triumph of the human spirit and what we can mean to each other and what is the better part of humanity, you know.
That's not cliche at all. I like that.
Yeah. No. I still hold out for that. I'm cynical because I'm a little bit older, but I still think that, you know, there's some goodness to be had, to come.
Yeah.
And we can manufacture it. And that's what we are, the Flash. I think that's what it represents. And then you've got this metaphorical value as well, you know, birth and, you know, not becoming too soppy on that, but those are things I care about, even though I'm the big bad.
Let's get into the birth, and you know, we finally found out who the mystery girl is as well. Let's get into those, because I do want to talk about some of the stuff that you have coming up, your own projects. They sound awesome. How early did you guys know who the mystery girl was, or did you know?
I still don't.
You still don't.
Do you want us to spoil you, or
I don't even know what you guys are talking about. there's this mystery girl.
Yes, there's a girl who popped up earlier on in the season. She has a lot of. She kind of looks like Iris. She has a lot of qualities of Barry, and so everyone thought that it was Dawn Allen, who in the comics is Barry and Iris's daughter. But we find out tonight her name is actually Nora.
I'm too egotistical to even comment on that. That just went over my head. I know nothing about Mystery Girl. It remains a mystery. she moves in mysterious ways.
A mystery.
Seemed like the only thing they did was change her name.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And who knows if, like, in the comics, she's attached to her twin.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, the tornado twins.
Yeah.
And we don't know if we'll see her brother or not. But we were right, though.
It was the daughter. On point.
Well, all season there. Yeah.
And then obviously
Mystery Girl Nora.
Instead of Dawn.
Yeah. Instead of Dawn.
And she made a big mistake. That's what she said she did. Which obviously is gonna set off season 5.
Yeah, that's obviously what the focal point of season 5 is. It's because DeVoe's gone for good. Yes? Maybe?
I just went over my head.
Question?
All right.
We'll just have to. Actually, that might be a thing, though, because, I mean, when Barry was going up to hit the satellite, there was a reverse, because the question was, if he hits the satellite by himself, what's stopping him from being destroyed? Mm-hmm. And then she reverses it and hits it with him.
So he's not destroyed. That, though,
like, well, she's a time traveler, clearly.
You're so like a Barry. Serious Flash groupie.
I analyze these comics and
it's amazing. I read stuff like that, and people would go like, oh, okay, how about the symbolism in episode one? You know, when he comes back, Barry comes back, and then there's all these inscriptions and insignia, and then people would go like, okay, but what's happening there on DeVoe's face? Because they, you know, and they try and, you know, I don't know, create these parallels.
Yeah.
But it's great, you know, if people fill in the story and if their imagination goes along with it. That's why I like reading books, you know. It's like my imagination goes along with it. And if we created with a show like this, amazing.
It was very cool to see the beginning, like in the beginning of the season, obviously we see Barry come out of the Speed Force and we see him, you know, saying a bunch of stuff that doesn't make sense, drawing a lot of things that don't make sense. This house is bitching. Like, we're like, what's going on? So it was cool to see that full circle tonight. Mm-hmm.
This is perhaps a question for you guys. Do you think that the season finale wrapped up all of these different narratives? I mean, what's your view on that?
I'm going to say 100%. Yeah. They did it very subtly, almost to the point where a lot of these things that were presented in the first half, we almost forgot about. Like halfway through, I was like, "Oh yeah, there was like this random girl that might be Barry's daughter." And then like all the symbols, and then this house is bitching. The callbacks to it is great. And so, are we all in agreement that the symbols are what DeVoe created, and that's where Barry was?
Well, that was the language from the future.
Was it though?
Yeah, because Dawn was writing it.
But it was also on what Marlise created to give to Sisko.
Maybe they're from the future. Somehow.
Marlise?
Somehow. I don't know. That's what I mean.
My mischievous smile.
That's mine. Well, I was when you said we were in agreement that I actually am not, because I don't think everything was tied up.
Really?
I think certain things were set off to go into season 5, Dawn, whatever she did, but that was connected to DeVoe's type thing, so maybe they have to go back to that moment. Cecile, that daughter, Gina.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on with her? I mean, we know she may not be a meta, but maybe she might. Who knows? What's going on? Did Cecile lose her powers? We don't know.
Cecile definitely lost her powers.
Is Ralph staying? I thought a lot of stuff wasn't necessarily tied up.
We did get to see Wally.
So, is it like a high five? Is it like a high five?
Yeah, sure. You agree with me? Okay.
No. I was like the season finale, a high five.
I liked it. I loved it.
I think season finale was great. Yeah.
They did a great job of tying up things to not complete the storyline, but to give us satisfaction over the storyline. And they left enough things open.
They wrapped a nice bow on it, but they had enough questions for us to
be ready for season 2.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think they do that well. They don't undermine the intelligence of their audience. You know, they've got a very specific integrity about that.
Yeah.
There were definitely some payoffs, yeah.
Was this house bitching a payoff?
It was. We were wondering all season who was going to say that.
We kind of knew who it was, but...
Well, Tony knew. Tony, our engineer.
Oh my God, I was about to say, I was holding my tongue back so much.
Give him his credit. Tony knew the whole time.
Who was it?
It was Dawn. It was the daughter.
It was Dawn.
Not Dawn. It was the
Nora.
The artist formerly known as Dawn, who is now Nora.
So, but the audience doesn't. Do they know that Tony is chipping in now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. They can hear me.
That's why we needed to let them know.
Over there, there's an engineer.
You're not just hearing me in your voice. Everyone can hear me.
So you guys have done this before.
Yeah. He chimes in.
I was guessing the whole time that it was Dawn. Or whoever Nora. She is, Nora. Yeah. Okay, it was Nora. And I swear it was going to end up at the season finale that she was going to reveal that it was her.
You've been saying that the whole time. Y'all, yeah. Tony was right. Let the record show.
I think we did a good job with a couple of our predictions season.
Who was the one who predicted that Marlise would be the one to end it all? That was you. Congratulations.
That was me.
That was pretty good.
I kind of was right about Cecile.
You were about Cecile.
Totally Cecile,
you. And the fact that DeVoe ended up that moment, I thought that moment was so intense. Like, he's about to kill this woman, about to have this baby. But, like, the fact that you said she was going to be the key, and then he goes after her, like, you were pretty much right.
But you know what was sad in all of that moment? That, like, we thought all the other metas would be inside of him still. We thought, for some reason, like, all the memories and the personalities were retained inside of you, and that Cecile was going to be able to pull them out. But it was just Ralph. Only Ralph that was left alive.
Because he was in Ralph's body.
Yeah, he was in Ralph's body.
Yeah.
It was sad. I wanted to see more of the guys, but it's okay.
I mean, it was like plummeting into the madness.
Yeah. That would really go down to the rabbit hole.
I mean, you killed your own, like, good side. Or...
Yeah.
That was intense.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that.
I think the moment that she's referring to with the baby was... that was something that startled me a little bit, you know. We kind of, like, if you just start contemplating that. But
it's dark, especially for, like, the CW to do something like that.
Well, more so the Flash to do something like that. I mean, we've seen a little bit dark, because in the 100, you, like, slit your throat. that was pretty dark. If y'all remember, he played Titus in the 100.
Spectacular deaths. I got an entire reel with just deaths. I die very well.
I just thought it was interesting because DeVoe's whole thing is like having this sense of morality and, you know, bringing humanity back to its, you know, greatest form. And as the season progresses, you know, you just start senselessly killing, and then now this final episode, it looks like you're about to kill this woman who's with child.
The epitome of, like...
Which is, like, the most, like, one of the most awful things you could do in the name of the Enlightenment.
I've got a question for you.
Okay.
So, Marlies, where do you think her morality lies? Because at least for a certain section of the story, she was on the bad side of things, right? So, I mean, is that something that can be redeemed, or is there any redemption?
It seems like she's trying to redeem herself now. Honestly, I think where her morality lies was she was so scared because we got to see in the flashback what happened with her almost losing her life, understanding where, like, your thought process, the
book
that you held.
Manifesto.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's a scary thing to find, like, your potential... boyfriend or husband at the time moving in with, like, oh my god, he's kind of psycho. But, like, to see the side of, like, getting hurt, I feel like she was living in fear the entire time. And so, I don't know. I feel like she was just living in fear of you as well.
I disagree with that. I think her morality lied in her love for you. She was doing it because in her mind, she thought she respected you and loved you so much that she thought your opinion and what you thought would be best for the world and what was best for her was what was best. And so I think...
But it wasn't that until she got hurt. So if that never happened, then she would have just left. And so...
But I think, obviously, the manifesto...
When you say, like, when she got hurt, what are you specifically referring to?
She's in Africa, I think, and she...
They
got attacked, and, like, half of her troop died.
Okay.
I think a bomb went off, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And the water source. But that was when she had the epiphany.
Okay, now, I thought that, you know, when DeVoe hurt her on a personal level...
I mean, her morality then, I guess, changed back.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Just maybe disappointed at her.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the royal wedding now. See if I can,
phenomenal.
If I can
tie all
of that in.
Yes.
Love brought them together. Love in the seasons. It all connects.
Real quick, I was hoping to ask another question if you guys were done with the thought. Sure. It was a very popular question. It was asked by Black Magic 99. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you could maybe touch on it. It said they were asking if Ralph would have all of their powers now, since he was the one that came out.
Yeah,
and he was able to his body was a vessel that was able to hold all his powers without really succumbing to the previous host.
Mm.
What's your take on
that? What do you think, Neil? Yeah.
I'm going to refer you back to Warner Brothers.
Great answer. I kind of read ahead, and I'm almost certain Ralph is not going to be coming back next season, or he might have some type of cameos.
They'll probably do something random like they did with Julian, and they'll be like, oh, he's doing this.
I know, and I'm not going to tell you.
Of course.
See, he knows.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm just not going to.
I'm
going to
go ahead and say I think Ralph maybe does retain the powers, but doesn't have the level of expertise as DeVoe did, and might... If he does come back, have to be retrained, kind of thing. I don't know. He'd be a very powerful meta.
He would be.
So I don't know if they could keep him around for the sake of the show, if that makes sense.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was like, I have a theory, but I'll save it for predictions because I just remembered something. But do you guys have any other questions before we get into...
Yeah, what was it like sitting in the thinker chair?
Oh, yeah.
That thing is massive. You must have felt...
I wish powerful. They gave it to me as a... Like a
they should have told us to put it in your living room.
Yeah. But maybe it comes back. I don't know. It was amazing. It is quite a piece of, I guess, like a prop.
Artifact. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Getting into it... Okay, so the prosthetics usually took us about 2 hours. We narrowed it down to about 2 hours when, you know, putting all of that on. We did... Prior to that, we did 360 scans of me with, the prosthetics, without the prosthetics, so that they can maneuver that and create facial expressions and blah, 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 blah. So that would take about 2 hours, and it would take probably about 5 minutes to wire everything in, and... There we go. And it's amazing, all these toys we get to work with. I remember sitting downtown in Vancouver on a Friday night, and here I am on a crane 40 feet in the air, you know. Amazing.
Yeah.
And then you're going to pinch yourself. This is happening. Don't think about it. I knew there has to be a pun in there somewhere.
I think so.
Yeah. Don't think about it. Obviously, you were like you're the season-long villain. So did you guys have downtime? Did you get to hang out with the rest of the cast? Or like what did you do in your downtime in Vancouver?
I chose this time around. Previous time when I was there, I lived downtown Vancouver. This time, I prefer to live closer to the studios, which were, we shoot in Burnaby. And I just wanted to have a bit more of a suburban experience. So that's where I lived, yeah. And my downtime mostly is reading Michael Connelly or John D. MacDonald, and, yeah.
We heard you like to go fishing, too.
That's right. In fact, I'm going this weekend.
Oh. Lucky you.
Yeah. That's my hobby. Fishing, reading, a little bit of classical guitar.
Mm. Oh, okay. Lovely.
Yeah, and engaging with going to AfterBuzz TV on a Tuesday evening.
We're so thrilled to hear that you want to
come on. Yeah, it's awesome that you're here.
Yeah, we love it.
So you were telling us earlier that you just got done with a movie?
Correct, yeah.
Yes, can you tell us a little bit about that?
This was great because it was so seamless. I literally, we finished shooting on a Saturday morning, probably about 5:30. We call it Fratidays when you go
into the next day.
You guys must know it, certainly.
Yeah.
And the very next day, I was on a plane and I started production on the Monday on a film called Coyote Lake. And I have the great privilege of playing opposite Adriana Barraza, Manny Perez, and Camila Mendez, who's also in the CW fold. She's one of the leads in Riverdale.
Yeah.
And yes, we made a movie. And
so are you playing like a villain in that, or
what's the genre?
What can you say?
Giving much away, obviously.
Let's just say it's like a 180 degree U-turn from playing the thinker.
Ooh,
cool.
Something completely different. And maybe I can say this, and hopefully Sarah wouldn't, blame me too much for saying it. But in this entire film, I have one line.
What?
Oh.
Really?
And then that's about it.
That's very
The backdrop of it is very interesting. It reminds me a little bit of Jerzy Kosinski's The Painted Bird. It's not about the drug trade and the human trafficking trade per se. I mean, it's not a movie about that, but that is what is happening on the border, and that's the backdrop for it.
Okay.
But it's a straight drama, and I think in a certain sense it's a girl coming of age. That's the movie. And we'll see where that goes.
When does it come out?
Well, are they in post-production now? And if I knew when they were going to hit, then I would certainly tell you.
Okay. Yeah.
So, as far as like roles go, do you like playing the darker characters, or are you wanting to play more lighthearted? Like, what do you personally enjoy playing?
It's a curious thing. When I came to America, I think because you sound a little bit exotic and maybe you look a little bit weird, or I've been doing a lot of creepy dudes, right? Mm-hmm. Americans are usually, they're the heroes, right? So, yeah, I've been doing creepy dudes. But back in my home country, there was a different range. And I also understand that better. You know, this is working in my second language. So I'm first language Afrikaans speaker, and that's pretty much my worldview is sculpted like that. That's how I understand the world, you know. So it's always a stretch for me. But I don't mind it. I think you have a lot more fun playing the creepy dudes. Not necessarily fun, but I think it's a stretch.
More range, you know? I think.
Complexity.
Yeah. You play later. Not fit into a box. Yeah. Like Grant would be, where he's like the poster
child. It's so incredibly hard to play the, let's call it the protagonist or the main character, and, you know, be the good. I think it's very difficult, and there's a very particular actor that can do that.
Right.
I don't know if I think I'm more on the offbeat of doing things, you know? I don't know if you start deconstructing your own work. I don't know if that's necessarily the best place to be.
So we have some questions from the chat. I don't know if you feel...
from what?
From the chat over here.
Oh, okay.
Some people are very interested, actually, in what type of guitar you play, because you mentioned classical guitar.
I've got a Loriente, a handmade Loriente.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
Besides your own character in Marlies, who would you say was your favorite... Who's your favorite Flash character? Just in general.
Oh, they're going to hate
me. Now remember, Twitter.
Just remember, Twitter.
That you don't actually, you know, go on, so it's fine. You just upset the masses.
Well, I'll just call him by his name. I like Tom. I like Tom.
Okay, yeah, Harry.
I think if I had to choose which character I would like to play as a, you know, a standing member, that would be it. Yeah.
Cool.
I dig that. I like that.
Yeah.
Guys, do y'all have any more questions?
I was gonna ask what you think about Happen Leonard.
Plus, I would look silly if I had to play the Flash.
That you could do it.
There's I don't know. I don't run as well as Grant.
Apparently, he doesn't run at all anymore.
He doesn't run.
Yeah,
he actually does not run. He let us know about the movie magic. He doesn't actually run anymore. He just does this.
So you were going to ask about Happen Leonard?
Oh, yeah, because you used to be on the show as Paco. Correct. And, like, they recently just said, you know, you were on there for a bit, and, like, they recently canceled the show after, three seasons. So I was just wondering, like, how you felt about that, or if you were still connected to the show at all.
I'm particularly proud for having been part of it. I must single it out as probably one of the best experiences that I had on set. It was around about the time of one of my birthdays, and we were down in Louisiana, and it was a fantastic sort of family experience. A very small cast. There was James Purefoy, Michael Williams, Bill Sage, Jimmy Simpson, Pollyanna McIntosh, Jeff Pope, and I'm losing somebody now. Bill Sage, did I already say? Christina Hendricks, yes. And that was primarily us. So I had a roar of a time doing that. It was great being down there. It was great working with Jim Mickle and Nick Dimitri and Linda Moran. I'm just name dropping now.
But, total Hollywood.
Yeah. No. But it was really, I will always think about that experience fondly. And it was also the first time in America that I played a serious regular. Mm.
Awesome. What is something that Americans do that you just think is weird? Like,
that's a good question.
Just like,
yes,
you got to be very careful now because and this is just going to go into jokes. I know this already. I am an American now.
Yes,
facts. I have assimilated.
Oh, okay.
I became an American citizen on the 23rd of June last year.
Oh wow! Congrats.
Now, here's my standing joke, being from South Africa. I am a legitimate African-American.
Technically speaking.
Yes. It's like, but it's not something that I would say at parties. I'll just say it live on air. Yeah.
And once again, Twitter. You're going to have to do it on Twitter.
That's going to be funny.
But is there any weird lingo or like food choices or anything that you came over here and you kind of were just like, what is going on here?
I mean, there's a lot of weirdness about America, but I still like America because it has this adolescent quality about it. You know, like a youthfulness about it, you know. We can do crazy things like drive on a Harley, and we have certain freedoms, and I hold out for the goodness of America. Where it was a culture shock, I think that, you know, I don't want to go into that, but sometimes I think there's something excessive about it as well, which I question the whole time. I mean, I'll give you like a small example. You go to McDonald's and you ask for a napkin, or a serviette and whatnot, and they just give you a what? Like that? I mean, you get like 20 of these.
We don't even think about these stuff.
Go big or go home, America.
So yeah, I sometimes find that there is an excessive nature about it, which I question. And, you know, I don't know. What else do you want to know?
We're just digging
Holy
deep.
Moly, yeah, you guys, this is honesty time.
That was a really good honesty answer, though.
That was really good
I didn't even think about the excessiveness that we are like a really...
Capitalism.
Yeah. We're hardcore about that.
All you got to do is compare our large cups to like the large cups around
the
world.
Yeah, supersize me. I mean, it's not a new theme that I'm introducing. Okay, here's a very interesting thing. You would have commentators like, and this is what makes America great, is you would have commentators like a Michael Moore that has a First Amendment protection, you know, and I think people sometimes miss... anyways, that's the next point. Noam Chomsky... people who can actively criticize from within. So you can be critical about the way we live. You know, you can raise that opinion.
Yeah.
And that is remarkable. Even if you don't agree with the status quo.
I'm going to bring up, since you talked about, we were talking about Drew's great question of America and whatnot, like you won what is like the equivalent of the Academy Award over in South Africa for your 21 episode series on the industry over there and how
because you've done your homework.
I have done my homework. But it was interesting to me because it's like, you know, you had gone back and forth and then you settled here in pursuing the industry here. And we're talking about DeBoe and technology or whatnot, but that South Africa was one of the last ones to actually, you know, have television. Have television. Wow,
yeah, we only got television in 1976.
And was that something, since you had done this, was that something that stood out to you in, like, going back and forth as an actor and seeing the industry in comparison over here and then deciding, you know, you wanted to put focus on the focus on South Africa's broadcasting industry or the Hollywood or whatnot of it there?
Well, I would never get into any sort of comparative analysis and kind of go, you know. But I think part of the pull factor for me to come to the United States is, I think if you were in IT, for example, then I think, and you wanted to be really good at what you're doing, you would want to go to Silicon Valley,
right?
You know, and Hollywood is pretty much the main vein of worldwide global cultural imperialism. So, you know, it made sense for me to kind of go and pursue that and find out what is going on there, because I couldn't live with the other, or the alternative to that, you know, sitting with myself and constantly going like, what if, you know?
Yeah.
So I needed to do that. The series that you're talking about is also something that I'm very proud of. And I wanted to sort of give back to my industry. And I thought like a documentary, almost like an academic study of how our industry came about and all the big role players in it. You know, I told the story through 21 different perspectives, and it. I wish it was translated. Maybe we can get it translated, or at least
dubbed or
subtitles.
Yeah. Subtitle, yeah.
It's interesting, yeah, and I enjoyed doing it, and I feel very proud about it. And Albert Maritz, if you are out there, thank you to you. You know, it was my partner that I did it with, and this it was actually his idea, you know, to go back and find. I mean, I don't know if this makes any or if this is valid to anyone, but I when I started acting, I was 14 years old, and I was on set with these legends, you know, in the South African context. So I felt particularly proud about going back and telling their stories and their narratives and how they contributed to our industry. And I would like for our industry to, the South African industry, to make something somewhere along the line that is as good or even better, you know, than the best in the world. Mm. Yeah. It's nice and we have done. There's certainly been works of such nature, yes.
I dig it. Zach, do you have anything?
I'm good, yeah.
All right,
We dug deep.
You knew it was going to go there.
Yeah, because yes. We had the thinker.
Unless we can still talk about the royal wedding if you want to.
There was some good that I'm not going to go into.
Yeah, I can tie it up for you. I can tie it up for you. Okay, so royal wedding, we dealing with a monarchy. Bring this back to DeVoe. Okay, so he goes like maybe, and sometimes I feel like this. I go like, what if I could just, like, I listen to politicians and the things that they do, and Plato always said that the best form of governance is a benevolent king, right? So I kind of go, like, maybe I'm not such a Democrat. Sometimes I just want to go, like, I want to do it my way, yeah. Right? And that's where I tied in with
the vote. There we go.
With the vote.
You know? Exactly. Yeah.
I love it.
He would have supported the royal wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The royal would have gone. Yeah.
He would have gone.
He loved Megan's dress. let's hop into predictions for the next season.
Predictions.
Very cool.
There it goes.
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
There we go. We got lights, sound effects.
We have the symbol.
Yes. We have the Speed Force provided by Anthony.
Yes, Anthony.
We'll start it. Do you want to start it?
I guess I always start it, right? Is it not?
Go off.
Predictions for next season. So, new bad guy. I think we might go back to Speedsters. I'm hoping for Godspeed. I would love to see Godspeed because we had a few lightning storms within this. Wait, was that this season or last season?
There's always lightning storms.
There's always lightning storms. Cool. I would love to see Godspeed. Or who was the other one that I was telling you last week? Barry's brother from another mother or something?
Were you talking about Ebert Dawn?
No.
Because that, okay.
Blue lightning, or blue something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Evil Barry, pretty much, in the comic books. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to see more of Dawn. I feel like we're going to have like a Savitar.
Nora.
Oh, God. I think we're going to have like a Savitar thing going on where we're going to have to deal with the future and past all in one. And it's going to get like all topsy-turvy and everything.
Okay.
Be very cool if we go into the future. Maybe Dawn enlists Barry to go into the future.
Maybe.
So, Neil, would you like to give a prediction even though you might know something? Just go on a whim. Say whatever you think might happen.
Okay, so just tell me about this. Do I have to hold this?
No, we just passed it along. That is courtesy of Anthony.
Pendulum? Are we doing energy checks here?
You gotta feel the energy. You gotta put it up to your forehead to feel the energy.
Yeah, right, Anthony. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna put this to my forehead. Yeah. No predictions.
No predictions. Okay. Not a problem.
Chauncey.
When won't you get
Well, I think.
That's it. Put it on the forehead.
Well, I think. Dawn.
Nora.
Is gonna play a big part into most of season 5. And I think her big mistake was maybe the idea of reversing whatever. I think Barry maybe was supposed to hit that by himself, and maybe something was supposed to happen, like him disappearing or something like that.
Yeah, that was definitely a big pivotal moment.
Yeah, and since she stopped that, I think that's going to affect a lot of things. So that's my main thing. I don't know who the big bad is going to be. I kind of feel like maybe it's going to be time travel type thing. Maybe it's not necessarily a bad idea.
I've got a hunch that Barry's going to run like a flash.
Yes. And that Barry will run and run.
Wait, let me ask you now. Is Nora creating her own flashpoint?
She might be. And I think that's what's going to be interesting about it, about Barry being on the other end of that. Because we've seen Barry do this repeatedly. And then, like, there's little cracks that have, you know, and then, you know, the kind of karma is that his daughter kind of does the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, he's been making
full circle
with his, really, you know, Barry's daughter. And that maybe Nora was doing the same thing because maybe something happens to her parents. And so she does a similar thing. So I don't really know about the big bad or anything like that, but I do know it's going to be interesting to see West Allen be parent to an adult child.
To an adult child. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah, just skip forward.
Okay, agree with both of your girls. My prediction is more for the fate of Ralph. It has been confirmed, right, that Batgirl is going to be in the crossover next year.
Oh, yeah, Batgirl's being... Batwoman is being introduced into the Arrowverse.
So I think Ralph is going to go into that neck of the woods, just because the CW and Arrowverse never just throws away a superhero.
Gotham? He's going to go into... They're introducing Gotham?
I don't
not, know. Not Gotham, like the Fox show, but like...
Maybe.
I don't know. They haven't gotten too... talked about it too much, but I think... They don't waste superhero. I mean, if they wanted to waste him, they would have, like, killed him off or something. So I think, obviously, we're going to see Ralph somewhere. I just don't necessarily...
Ralph in the comic books is, like, one of the most strongest characters around.
Yeah, but I just don't think he's going to get utilized on The Flash like he should, just because we already have a lot of superheroes. I think...
We have way
Killer,
too many.
I think
Killer Frost is
Caitlin's storyline is going to take a big forefront.
Oh my god, we didn't even touch on that. That little Cecile moment?
Yeah.
Where she's like, Tommy is okay, or Tommy knows. What was that? Did you catch that?
Yeah. I don't even know what it meant, but I think all of that's going to be handled in the next season, and I think maybe the brother might be the big bad.
And maybe we will see the Thinker again in some capacity.
I would love to see the Thinker
again. Love it.
Think about that one.
About that one. He's just full of puns all day.
I know.
I can't help myself. And it's not the first time.
We literally could do this all night, but since we have to wrap up, where can the people keep up with you?
And connect with you.
Okay, that's right. The social media thing.
Social security and the bank account. So
it's one of those, what do you call this? You don't have a pen on you.
I don't have a pen.
What do you call that?
You have a pen over
that
there.
That sign?
The at sign.
Yeah. Okay, so it's like at that sign.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then because some other dudes took my name.
Took my name, that's why I'm Zach Silverman.
We gotta get you verified on Twitter.
He is verified.
I believe I am. Yes. Eventually I got that done.
He would have buy it from somebody else.
So you're the real Sandalin?
So I'm at real Sandalin.
Yes. We put it right down there.
Only
at real Sandalin.
So now everyone knows.
S for sugar, A for apple, N for Nevada, D for Delta, I for Idaho, L for Lima, A for apple, N for Nevada, D for Delta, S for Sierra.
Okay,
you've done that quite a few times, I suppose.
Very fast, yes.
I've had to spell my surname, my own surname.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming in.
We have been a pleasure.
Yeah, so much fun.
Awesome.
Thank you very much for having me.
We were very excited to hear that the Thinker was coming on. We didn't believe it at
first. I was
very
nervous, but I don't know, these people are going to bark at me or something.
No, you did phenomenal.
No,
I think the chat loved you.
You were amazing.
Yeah.
They want you to play the next Doctor. Someone said that.
Oh, yeah.
The next Doctor.
Doctor Who.
Oh, the next Doctor. Oh, yeah.
That would be
great.
From whose ever's lips
to God's ears.
Yeah.
Yes.
The universe.
Let's put it out there.
Also, I think personally you'd be a great Dr. Octopus for Spider-Man.
Ooh.
I think that'd be a fantastic role for you, too.
That just went over my head.
He's got to look it up.
I have no idea who you're talking about. I can go and investigate it. Thank you very much for having me. It's been a great pleasure. And you guys have been
for coming.
Fun.
This has been a great way to wrap up this season. Until next season, guys, where can they find you all?
Hey, guys, my name is Zach Silverman. You can find me all across social media at Zach with a CH Silverman 2.
And you can find me at Ms. Chauncey KR on Twitter and also on my show, The Bloody Breakdown, where I review horror movies.
And I'm Drew Jones, and if you want to keep up with CW shows, I'll be on iZombie tomorrow night. Make sure to follow me on all the things at OKDrewJ, and we will see you guys next season. It's been fun. Bye, guys.
Bye. Good night from me, Leonardo DiCaprio. Bill
Smitek and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
It was just like, I didn't know how long did we sit down.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.